Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John, the co-hosts. They're alive, they are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
And oh my goodness, our guest this week.
You know her. She's a writer on Comedy Bang Bang, You're the Worst, and upcoming Briar Patch. Look for it January 2020 on USA. It's Eva Anderson.
Yay. Hey, guys.
Welcome to our fourth episode of Five Cold Screams. We're doing horror movies all month long. Getting the spooky
so scary
spirit.
Yep.
You're a world traveler, is that safe to say?
Yes.
You have traveled the world.
I've traveled parts of the world.
What is like the scariest, like real place you've ever been to?
Chernobyl.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I went before it was cool to go.
Yeah, oh, sure, sure.
I went in 2017. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was no Craig Mazin hadn't made it all like hep yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, the abandoned city of Pripyat, where people left within like 30 minutes and never came back, and it's got like that Ferris wheel.
Oh god.
And at one point they just let us loose inside a school, and we had like an hour to explore the children's school, and there were just like piles of little kid gas masks. Is this fun, you guys? I don't know.
This is amazing.
So wait, is there any danger of visiting there that you will get like...
They claim that like it's as much radiation as it, you get flying to that part of the world. But okay, we threw away all of our clothes and shoes and everything that we can. Like, you also have to sign this very long release saying all the things you won't do while you're in the zone, which is like you
like
won't
what?
Eat. You won't eat anything off of a bush. You won't pet a dog, which is crazy because there's dogs everywhere and they're very cute.
There's like all these dogs that you can't pet.
Yeah, they're like street dogs. There's also super wolves, radioactive super wolves.
Super wolves.
But we didn't see any of those. There's giant catfish.
They fight the Ninja Turtles?
I fed a granola bar to a catfish that was like really, really long and big.
A granola bar to a catfish?
Yeah, I just threw it into the river and I ate it.
Oh my God.
It was huge.
These have got to be like tough animals, though.
Yeah.
They're like resilient.
Like the first...
They survived Chernobyl.
The first round of post-Chernobyl animals did have mutations, but then they all died off. So the animals now look normal, but they are in many cases immune to radiation.
But
covered in radioactive dust, which is why you can't pet them. And you also can't bring anything back in your pockets, which is like tempting because there's like broken dolls everywhere and stuff.
Oh my God.
But if you do, they
run
you
on the nose, Chernobyl.
Yeah. Oh, it's very on the nose. They check you with like a radiation meter when you leave the zone, and they know if you have something in your pocket. That's basically to be like, take that out of your pocket. Take that doll head out of your pocket. You also get the feeling that some of the broken dolls were like staged.
Yeah,
like they
I'm
go
sure.
in and lay them around in the yeah, in the yeah. kindergarten or whatever.
Well, you go to Chernobyl, you expect Chernobyl.
Yeah, exactly. You- it has to look a certain way. So that's my answer.
That's a good
wow.
one.
Yeah.
The scariest place I've ever been. I don't know that. I mean, I guess I once worked at a theater that was haunted.
Where?
On Long Island.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so the place I, the room I stayed in, I did have a thing where I got visited. I thought, but I didn't know it was haunted. And one night I had woke up and it felt like someone was kneeling on my chest and like their face was in my face trying to like steal my breath. And I found out later that that was, that building used to be a spot on the Underground Railroad and people would like hide there, and some angry villagers found out about it and set it on fire. And so a lot of people who sit in that room have that experience, have that dreamlike experience of someone like kneeling on their chest trying to steal their breath. Is this fun yet, guys?
Which I don't know. It sounds like
sleep paralysis to me, right?
That it is, it does exactly mirror sleep paralysis. So I understand if people are skeptical about that. I'm just saying that's how it felt
to
me.
I mean, that's a big butt.
Sure.
What about you?
I don't believe in ghosts or the supernatural, so, but there have been like rooms. I went to a friend's mother's beach house once and we went upstairs. We got there like very late at like 10, 11 at night. We went upstairs. It was like an old house. All the couches were still from the 70s and stuff. And we went to the upstairs like bonus room, and just walking in there, you knew like, this room doesn't feel right. And it was just like, there was no, the only light was from the hallway. So sometimes that lighting is always eerie to me when there's like indirect lighting from another room. something about it is eerie to me. Atmosphere gets me.
Sure,
that's
sure.
what I'm saying. So that just felt off to me. So that was like a pretty creepy place. And I also found in Ireland once, went to an abandoned house and there was like a huge anthill in the middle of a living room.
That's horrifying.
That was pretty horrifying.
Not supposed to be there.
It was like 4 feet tall.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Saw a dead snake in a river once. That was pretty creepy.
Yeah, but you expect to see a dead snake in a river.
Was it a water snake?
No, it was just, like a big white snake.
So it just fell in the river. No wonder.
Wait, you saw
snake.
Someone from the band White Snake dead in a river once?
Dave Coverdale, what's his name? Coverdale Page, what's his face? Yeah, it's pretty screwed up. I don't like seeing dead things in rivers. That's just me.
They shouldn't be there.
No.
Yeah, get out of the river if you're going to die.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Float around.
Well, should we get into our movie?
Let's get into
Ava,
our movie.
You picked. Oh, wait. Well, John's going to introduce it
yeah,
for us. So, I keep forgetting.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Where is it? You picked the movie Sleepaway Camp.
Yes.
Sleepaway Camp, which came out in 1983, written and directed by Robert Hiltzik, with a budget of $350,000. And it tells the story of Angela Baker, a traumatized and very shy young girl who is sent to summer camp with her cousin. Shortly after her arrival, anyone with sinister or less than honorable intentions gets their comeuppance.
Ooh.
Thank you, IMDb.
Thank you. So, Eva, when we asked you to pick a horror movie, why Sleepaway Camp?
Well, Sleepaway Camp is very close to my heart. I think someone pointed it, like, told me to watch it when I was in high school. And it was rumored, it was back, you know, we had to, like, go to the video store or get the movie.
Yeah. Sure.
But people said it was super scary, and that's why I should watch it. Super scary. But it, and so I will say there are moments in Sleepaway Camp that flail around and become scary. Like, the final image is quite scary.
It's striking. Sure. Iconic, I would say.
Yes.
But overall, like, it's, I think of Sleepaway Camp as a piece of outsider art.
Yes.
It's almost like a, like, is it Henry Darger? Like a, or whatever, like one of those painters
sure.
that like lives out in the woods and paints like weird little dolls or something.
Daniel Johnston's music.
Daniel Johnston, yeah. I think of Robert Hiltzik as just like some sort of instinctive monster artist that where he just threw everything on the screen and you don't understand. It's like trying to decipher a puzzle, right. What he meant to do.
Like, what was his intention versus the outcome?
I also have a little bit of experience with the movie personally.
Oh,
okay.
So I was very like obsessed with the movie, and I kind of got really, I had like a big Sleepaway Camp poster in college. I would show it to everybody. And so when I was in college, at USC, one summer, a bunch of my friends, had these like theater, internships, and so two of my friends were working on the Young Playwrights Festival, and they invited me to come see their show. And I was like looking at the little flyer for the show, and I realized that the owner of the theater was Chris Colley, who played Paul in Sleepaway Camp. And so I went to the show with the intention of like finding him as a middle-aged man now.
Sure.
Paul is Angela's boyfriend.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I was sitting in the theater and I was like turning around. I was looking for him. I was like, will I recognize him as a man? And it was weird because it was like, because it was this Young Playwrights Festival, a lot of celebrities were there. So right behind me was Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar. And every time I turn around, Freddie Prinze Jr. would sort of like smugly like head check me. Like I was
like, yeah, it's me.
Yeah, it's me. Which is a side note. A week earlier, I'd been walking around USC on a side street and I heard someone right behind me. I turned around and it was Freddie Prinze Jr. and he gave me the same look. So this has happened twice in one week.
Freddie Prinze Jr. has been dead for 30 years.
But this happened twice in one week and then never happened again for the rest of my life, where Freddie Prinze Jr. just like smirked at me.
Yeah, it'd be nicer to spread it out through your life.
Yeah.
You know, twice in a week.
So I'm looking and I finally spot Chris Colay. Mm. He's running the camera and my heart just all the blood goes out of my body and I get so excited. And so then.
How did he look?
He looked great. He looked just like Paul, but a man.
Yeah. Great.
I think he's one of the only actors that had a career post. He was in some movies.
Yeah, he looked familiar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's in a movie with Sean Penn. He like actually did some stuff.
Right.
So anyway, after the play, I went up to him and I was like, you're Paul from Sleepaway Camp. And he said, I don't like to talk about that. Like immediately.
What?
He just shut me down. He's like, I don't like to talk about that. I was like, oh, okay. But then he got drunk and he
loved to talk about it.
And he told me that they gave him his head, like his severed head.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And he said,
didn't want to talk about that?
He's like, what he said was the other actors were weird. And he didn't. Yeah. And that they kept wanting to do a reunion or something. He didn't want to do that. This was also like 99.
Yeah. Now he'd say sure.
Yeah. The other thing is, I bought like the DVD with the commentary. I did listen to the commentary, which was Robert Hiltzik and Melissa Rose.
Okay.
So which was so inconclusive and had no information.
I listened to half of it last night.
So really? You got to the part where the aunt comes in.
Yes.
And they just go, oh, it's her.
Yeah, they don't ever say, she's the weirdest, making the craziest choices you've ever seen in your life.
He just goes, oh, remember her?
Oh, there she is. She's pretty much like that. Yeah. So, that's it? Who is she? Where'd she come from? What's she like?
Yeah, why did they let her do that? Why did she do that?
Why did you put her in this movie?
But then also, thank God they did.
It's an amazing. One more thing. It's just one more thing.
It's just one more
wonderful
cherry
thing
on top.
You're right.
Yeah. The one thing I know is like Robert Hiltzik cast. He never made a movie before, and he cast people from his Jewish community center to play all the roles.
Okay.
So I assume it's a lot of non-actors.
I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah. The guy who plays Mel is an actor.
Yes.
Other than that, you're basically flying blind. Everyone's just bringing their like raw humanity to these parts.
Yeah.
Playing the one note. Yeah.
And the one note sometimes is just madness.
But a lot of times it does work in the movie. Like because they cast like actual like teenagers to be teenagers. It's like rare, like usually Friday the 13th movies or all these other slashers, they're like clearly people in their 20s, but these feel like real. There's actual children, and actual children die in this too. Like it's pretty brutal. Like it's not gory or like suspenseful in any way, but like the kill, once it like starts ramping up towards the end, like
the kills are pretty good.
Pretty good kills.
That first one with the racist pedophile cook.
Yeah.
That's a pretty solid kill.
Oh, man. He screams for so long. Had you ever seen the movie before?
Yes. Mark showed it to me maybe a year ago.
About
okay.
That.
Yeah, so we'd all seen it before.
So, yes. I've seen it multiple times. I have it on DVD.
Okay.
It's also this director is the only. After this movie, he went into law and was like a successful lawyer. And then he made the sequel. And then that's pretty much
There's a sequel?
There's a whole franchise.
I had no idea.
There's like four of them.
I've never watched the other ones.
I've only seen part. There's a good one in part two or three where Angela Bear. Spoiler. We can spoil this.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. Angela's
came
a killer.
Out in 83.
she buries a guy up to his head in like the dirt and then she runs a lawnmower over his head.
Okay. I love it.
It's pretty great.
Also, this movie was the number one movie in America.
Can you imagine a simpler time?
Yeah. Because if people just wanted more Friday the 13th, they needed it. They needed kills. And they were just like, can you imagine just
a weird slasher movie?
A theater full of people seeing that for out of context, just being like, this is a movie. We're watching this now with their popcorn on their date. Just watching that entire baseball game beginning to end.
Right. So much of that baseball
game.
So much.
The part where they explain all the rules to capture the flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you watch this movie, you could learn,
you could run a summer camp.
Yeah, exactly. It contains so much information that you need. Full pranks beginning to end against Mozart.
Yep. And in the commentary, he says, the director makes a point to say, there were no deleted scenes. If I wrote it, we shot it. Because that we had no money. So I was like, but you included an entire baseball game with a dissolve to show that time has passed and we're still playing baseball.
Oh,
but
they're
also like, somehow that adds to the enjoyment of the movie because it is such like an idiosyncratic, doesn't feel like any other slasher. It's never like, I guess it is super sleazy, but you never feel like bad for any of the women in it.
No.
You know, like,
they have Angela. Agency.
Except Angela. Sure. Yes.
Yeah, Judy and Meg definitely have it coming.
Judy is one of the best movie mean girls in the slasher genre or any movie genre I've ever seen. She is a live wire,
absolutely,
ready to explode at any second.
I just want to know more about that actress and like what parts did she play in like school plays?
Down?
Yeah, the way she uses her mouth. She's like a 45-year-old woman, like
filled with rage.
Yeah,
so much anger.
Immediately.
But I thought Meg was her equal. Meg was like a very good villain.
Like
my favorite
toady.
When she was like, "I'm Meg, M-E-G."
they zoom in on her just for that
and spell her name.
And the weird that like that we just are like all on board with Meg fucking Mel.
Yeah,
and Mel's like a 60-year-old man chomping cigars, and Meg's like a hot girl in her young 20s. Well, I'm gonna go see Mel, and everyone's like, "Cool,
yeah,
what world is this?"
Like, even goes out, he's like, I'm supposed to fuck Meg tonight. You guys know where she went, basically.
Oh, man. And then he's when Meg dies, he's like, not you, Meg! Like, she's the love of his life.
Yeah, I thought they were just, like, boning or something. It was very...
Oh, God.
It's
there's so
wild.
Much. There's people that just come in for one scene, and it's the greatest scene you've ever seen. Like, the doctor that describes what happened to the burned cook.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And keeps, like, doing these side things where he's like, God. Damn, every nerve in his body must be on fire right now. And it's just, it's fantastic.
And it's also like 87 minutes, this thing. You are in and out.
That's why there's no deleted scenes, and that's why there's a full baseball game.
Yeah, otherwise
you have
it's
to
a 45-minute movie.
It needs to like qualify as a movie.
Right.
With the credits.
It could be a lean 52 minutes.
Oh, man.
What did you think, John, seeing it for the second time?
I thought it was great. I was maybe I just had this on like the opening to me was like an overture. Like it was like 2.5 minutes of just like weird music playing,
like
showing
the
whole
camper,
like the sounds of the camper. It had this like very nice
echoing the bunks yelling at each other during
lunch. Yep. It had all of that. Then we have that first. I don't know. I was like, this could be a musical. Like the characters are like two dimensional enough that if you add songs to it, it works.
That would be great.
It also starts, the very first thing you see is a title card that says, In Fond Memory of Mom, A Doer.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Which is like such a different era. Because I remember the newspapers used to like profile doers, like local doers, which are just people who do things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, what a weird, well, that's Mom. She did things.
Do you think Hiltzik's mom died and he's like, she was a doer. I promised myself I'm going to make this movie.
I'm going to do it.
Jewish Community Center said they would give me some kids. I got the summer camp.
I have this camp for 3 weeks. I can film it.
I can't think too much about what I'm putting on screen because it's I just got to do
gotta
it.
Go. You just got to go. Gotta do.
If I think it, it's just there.
And then the logo, it's like American Eagle Productions, but the logo, I really looked at it this time.
Sure.
It's like a patriotic looking eagle like you would find on like a dollar bill or something. Mm. But it's like literally directing from behind a camera.
Oh,
which
wow.
I thought was very funny.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I'll share it online. I love this movie. It is like probably pretty problematic in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
Because the final twist is revealed, we can say that who we thought was Angela is actually Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was sister and father were killed. He was raised by Aunt Martha. She always wanted a girl, so she forced Peter to become Angela. And then ever since, whenever Angela's secret is threatened, that's when she kills people, essentially.
Yeah. That's why she doesn't go in the water. She doesn't shower with the other girls.
Whenever someone wants to get close to her.
Yeah, she panics.
She pushes them away.
Poor Angela.
Poor Angela.
And
true
she's,
icon.
For a third of the movie, she doesn't speak and seems like the most like deeply traumatized.
She doesn't even blink. Like, that's the thing that I started watching is like, how long, like, this, she, the number of times she blinks in the entire movie has got to be only 10. She, because like, I started to notice it and I would just stare at her, but then also like, in trying to stare and make sure that someone's not blinking, you can't blink. So I became crazy like her.
That's the power of Angela.
But she really doesn't blink. I think that would be an interesting, next time you try to watch it, try to only blink when Angela blinks and you
take
will
take a shot.
It will do something to your experience of life.
She kills people for different reasons. Like, she kills the, for instance, the cook for being a pedophile, calling
that's
the girls baldies,
and
really tries to get her in like in the storeroom.
This is where I come from. We call them baldies.
Makes
where
your mouth
do you
water.
Come from? Epstein's ranch. There we go.
Makes your mouth
topical.
Water.
Ugh.
Yeah, he's that guy's fantastic. And then, but she also like kills someone else for throwing a water balloon at her.
Right, which is fair.
Sort of.
It looked like it hurt.
I mean, or is it
a general bully? Just a general bully. Like, she had standards start to slip as the movie goes on.
Yeah, we're the one guy going like, "Hey, Angela, how come you're so fucked up?" Then he dies. He
which
gets
is
drowned.
Pretty rude.
Yeah,
yeah, people are rude, but I mean,
and she kills Judy and Meg.
Judy and Meg are the meanest, and they do have
they
it coming.
They have the most brutal deaths, I would say.
Yes, and at least one of them is the most fun.
Yes.
The most fun weapon.
Yes.
Meg.
We'll get to that. We have a category,
have a category
just
for that.
I
don't
know.
You worry.
Okay.
Meg is singing while she dies, singing a tuneless, humming a tune with no melody, which is a fun way to die.
Somehow getting stabbed like through the back, through like a fiberglass wall, and then like having it dragged down, but like getting caught on it is like so upsetting.
Yeah, it's good.
It's grisly.
There's like three really good deaths in a row.
Yeah.
There's Judy, Meg, Mel. Mel's death is fantastic.
What's Mel's again?
Arrow through the throat.
Yeah, great.
And I can't even figure out how they did it.
It's a great gag.
I think it's a stop motion, right? They froze and then
Mel
can stand still long enough for a stop motion?
I was dying
when they were filming this. He didn't tell anybody. He was dying.
What do you mean?
Mel, the actor, was dying.
He had
cancer and didn't tell anybody.
It's his last movie.
All those cigars he was smoking.
It was his last film.
Yeah.
I bought a folk record of his at that little records that bookstore next to UCB Franklin. He put out a folk record.
How is it?
I didn't have a record player. but I had to buy it.
I mean, how do you not?
Fair.
Great. Well, let's get into the score. As you know, we are looking for the... Or maybe you don't know. You do know?
I do know. Great, but go on.
Okay. We are looking for the gayest movie ever, and we have a scoring system and with multiple categories. And at the end, you will be adding a category, after which it will
become canon.
And then we will score every movie there for after. Let me do a quick recap of the standings. Number one, still, Muppets Take Manhattan. With only a 66.17, I think it can be beaten. Where's our Mamma Mia's? Where's our Showgirls? Where's anything?
Yeah.
Number two, 9 to 5, 58.94.
Okay.
Number three, Beetlejuice, 53.75. Number four, Scream, 51.95. Mm-hmm. And number five, Berserk, 49.60.
Ooh.
So, and then also Tourist Trap, the other movie in our five cold screams, is 8 with 43.72.
Okay.
So that's what you're playing with here.
Okay.
All right, let's see. We'll see if you can do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
The only way out is through.
So our first category, homoeroticism. On a scale of 0 to 100, how homoerotic is Sleepaway Camp?
I say it's wildly homoerotic.
It's pretty lot of so many
one,
short shorts.
That's one guy. What is that?
Ronnie.
I mean,
you can just see his penis.
You can.
When he's in the lunchroom.
Visible penis line, visible testicle line.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
And there's just like a lot of, and I know it's the fashion of the time, but the amount of like shirtless guys with little shorts or like in little belly shirts.
Yeah.
Like,
the half belly. That's crazy that phase ever
I feel
sort
like it was only
happened.
Like
gorgeous
two or three years.
Too,
it was
just
very
yeah.
short.
shockingly beautiful kids like, that end up in those
they
things.
Look great.
And they're adult enough that I can say that. They're
absolutely.
Not the Rickies. Right. They're the borderline too
this
old
is
to
not
be
a Jeepers Creepers situation.
No. These are like these are the counselors who like you should have been gone a couple years ago.
A guy who says I gotta take a wicked dump and then dies of bees.
Yeah.
What an arc.
He's just mostly naked for like the whole
yeah.
Dang.
And you never see, I don't think you ever see a breast in this movie. A woman's breast, anyway.
No.
I think none of the women are ever sexualized.
Does Meg die? You see her boobs when she dies?
She's showering, but I think her arms are always sort of like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mostly like a shoulder upshot.
I think it's... I wrote a review or just a piece of an essay about it that referred to its homoerotic overtones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I think they're not undertones. I think it's just out there.
They're tones.
Right.
At least.
It's a tone. It has a tone. So what would you score it then, Anna?
95.
95?
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to go 95, but I think I'll give it a... I wanted to be truly homoerotic. I want a little bit more like a slow taking the shirt off kind of moment, or like a slower coming out of the water.
Well, there is the one
that
skinny dip.
That's true.
They do take off their shirts.
That's true. There's a lot of them.
Unbutton a few times.
I'll give
buttons.
It an 85.
85. This is pretty goddamn homoerotic. I mean, this short situation is out of control.
His thighs are like a He-Man action figure.
But there's like a few different guys wearing short, like these crazy running shorts. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, the guy who's the pitcher in the baseball game is wearing a shockingly weird outfit.
Yeah, just don't bother with a shirt at that point.
Yeah.
What are you just covering your nipples for at this point? We've all seen nipples. I gotta give it an 80. I'm gonna give it an 80. It's pretty goddamn homoerotic. It's about as homo the same score I gave Talented Mr. Ripley.
Okay. All right.
Also, I think what would have put it up like a jockstrap. And it would have been in keeping with the theme.
Yeah,
sure. It wouldn't have felt too
out of place.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Gratuitous.
So it gives it an average of 86.67. Okay, this is currently our number one most homoerotic movie.
Great.
All right.
Good.
We got that.
Hiltzik didn't know he was doing it. That's my theory. It's like he didn't know what he was doing.
I don't think so either.
He was just making the movie as fast as he could.
There's something very The Room about it.
Yeah.
It's genuine.
It's from the heart.
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I say outsider art. It's just like there's no judgment. There's no, like, he's not running through any sort of societal filter.
There's no postmodernism. There's no irony to it.
No, this isn't Poison by Todd Haynes. This is like, it's not a commentary on a commentary.
It's not even a scream.
Yeah.
No. All right. Next category. Actual gay characters. 0 to 100.
There's the dads.
There are the dads.
Oh, that's right. The dads.
And you see them in bed together.
That's true.
And it's very tender and loving.
Yeah,
that's
it is
true.
The only representation of like a positive sexual relationship in the movie.
That's
even
right.
Even though there are two kids pointing and laughing
11,
at them.
Yeah.
I was thinking
it's
about
all problematic.
But wouldn't it be weirder? I think it would be weirder if, because they're little kids, I think it's natural for them to like giggle at people in
bed
together.
Yeah, of course.
Together.
Like if you saw your mom and dad, you would probably giggle.
It would be weirder
too.
If the kids were like, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know?
But they're like holding each other and
it's a very tender.
They're in love.
That's true. Yeah.
So they're the only actual gay characters, I believe.
The ones that self-identify.
Yeah,
I think
so. What about
so.
Mozart? Are we any?
I don't think so.
What about the aunt?
Aunt Martha? She was married. She's a doctor. That's how she faked the
physicals.
The physical, because it's all laid out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They let you know really early off that.
Imagine Aunt Martha's your doctor. Where's that deleted scene?
God, she's incredible.
Oh, I forgot to send in your prescriptions.
Even though they know I am a doctor.
She's in her own world.
No, so that wouldn't do.
That wouldn't do at all. She's a nut. Actual gay characters. What are you going to give on a score?
No. 50.
50.
Yeah, this is a tough one because it's like they're there.
They are there.
I'll give it a 40.
40, only 5 points more than he gave Berserk, which had no actual gay people in it.
He loves to use my past scores as a weapon against me.
It's not a weapon, it's just a reference.
Uh-huh, sure.
There's no judgment involved.
Oh, there's no judgment at all.
Just
Nope.
The facts are there. The facts
sure.
are there.
Facts are facts.
I'm going to give it a 50 as well.
Okay.
Because they also set the whole movie in motion in a way.
Yeah.
The death of a gay family.
Mm.
Creates terror.
What happened
to the... I guess he wasn't like the father,
no,
the one
was, like,
who lived on the shore.
Who goes, John,
John.
Why isn't he raising Angela?
Maybe they had only been together a couple years or something. Because also, where's the mother of Angela, Peter, and his sister? You know?
I don't know.
And also, shout out to that water skier losing her mind.
Oh, my God.
She's fantastic.
She's fantastic. So, like, she couldn't let go. It's for like, some reason. Like, her hands were glued to that thing. She couldn't be like, oh, no.
There's a scene. That's how, like, the whole starts of the movie off. A bunch of people die when an out-of-control speedboat decapitates someone, essentially.
Yeah.
But the water skier is like, so funny to me to see someone terrorized while water skiing.
Also, yeah, that it's clearly filmed, half of that scene's filmed in a pool.
Yeah.
Like, once they get in the water, they're in a pool. It's like cutting between all just different locations.
It's great. It's great. All right. Next category, camp factor, 0 to 100. How campy is Sleepaway Camp?
I find it extremely campy.
I would love to. How do you define camp?
Oh,
I would love to hear your take.
Oh, well, actually, I'm now I'm taking it back. It's camp because camp has to be self-aware, right?
Not always.
I don't think so.
Really?
It could be unintentionally. Think, like, you wouldn't have Mommy Dearest. You're going to say that's not campy.
Yeah. Okay. Unintentional camp. Yeah. Like, it's arch. Like, it's, yeah, like, for instance, like, just Judy's performance, I feel like, is high.
How do you say that's not camp?
High camp.
Aunt Martha.
Yeah. Those two are, like, yeah, there's, like, I don't know. I'm not good at defining camp. How do you guys define camp?
It's tough.
We had a good definition.
Pull it up.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, this was sent to us from Jeff Hiller.
Okay.
Here we go. The whole point of camp is to dethrone the serious. Camp is playful, anti-serious. More precisely, camp involves a new, more complex relation to the serious. One can be serious about the frivolous about the serious.
Okay.
I don't know if that helps, but yeah. I think, for me, there's always like a sense of like a disproportionate like passion about something.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the young girl just being like so horrible. Like to me, there's something about that. Like that is just camp. Like there's no one who's like, what are you looking at, bitch? Like immediately like that. Yeah. Or like, fuck you, weirdo. Like that's it's almost like a John Waters performance and not a John Waters movie.
Yeah.
Playing to the rafters.
Yeah. There's something about that.
Okay. So for Aunt Martha and Judy, I will give it like a 75.
75.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go even higher because I also love that like all the stuff in the actual sleepaway camp, it like feels like a movie. But then all the other stuff with like the aunt feels like, oh, we're filming like a play in a black. Like that feels like great performances.
Oh, yeah. I went to my fiance's family lives in San Anselmo. That was a. But I've completely blanked. Oh, it was called Homes for the Holidays.
Perfect.
And it felt like the kind of thing that Aunt Martha would be in. You know, just a weird whodunit, like in a black box theater, in a barn, in like a small town.
Perfect. Great.
We had a great time.
But those scenes feel like that to me.
Yeah. Homes for the Holidays.
Yeah. Homes for the Holiday. Which I think is super campy. So I'm going to give it a 90.
90. Wow, pretty high, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think this is I think this is pretty goddamn campy. I give it a 85.
All right.
I mean, Aunt Martha alone, I've never not thought about her. She'll get in your brain.
You said it might be the greatest performance of all time in any film.
Okay, interesting. Well, let's unpack this.
Well, it's totally unique. You never have any. She does seem like a lunatic who would do this scheme that she does. Mm-hmm. It is so wild. It just raises lots of questions, but you're also never not watching her.
Yeah.
She's utterly compelling. Better in small doses. I mean, she's helped by it's just
yeah,
a supporting
if she was the
role.
Lead, it would
she's
be
in
like
one and
okay,
one half scenes.
Yeah.
I think she's better than Jason Voorhees' mom.
Oh yeah,
I wish she was Jason Voorhees' mom.
There we go.
Mrs. Voorhees is Aunt Martha.
She does create a killer in a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, makeover montage 0 to 100.
I mean, we don't really see it, but we could argue that it's pretty a violative makeover that happens in this movie.
But it is not a montage.
That when you flash back to Aunt Martha at the very end, it's leading into a makeover montage we don't see, when she goes, I always wanted a little girl.
Yes.
And she's got those bandages.
But it's one shot. I was thinking maybe it dissolves to later in time, but it does not, making it not a montage.
I mean, there's every, if there had been nice girls in the camp, there they would have given Angela a makeover, but they never did.
That would have been a dream.
Sure.
There is a... It's not a makeover montage, but you could see Judy curl her hair.
That's true. That's sort of a different. That's like the taking off your glasses and now you're a hot librarian.
We call that a montage, taking off your glasses.
Meg taking her shower so she can fuck Mel.
Yeah.
I feel like a montage has to be more than just one shot to be a montage.
I don't know.
Okay, I'll give it 10%.
10?
There's no makeover montage. Yeah.
Wow. Zero is an option.
I'm going to give it, I'll give it a 2.
2.
So that way it gets at least a 4.
All right. I've got to give it a 0. There
I understand.
Is no makeover montage. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Next category, over the top wardrobe.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A 100.
100.
Just for Ronnie. Okay, sorry. I'll change it. I'll change
you
it can, to.
You don't let him bully you. If you want to give it a 100.
I'm
going to say 90.
Now, which one's Ronnie's the brother, cousin she
no,
grew up
Ronnie
with?
No, Ronnie is the guy who walks around in
the red shorts and whatnot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are
just
crazy.
Every outfit he wears is so
it's
insane.
It's so insane and perfect.
Okay.
Also, but, Aunt Martha.
Aunt Martha's clothes are crazy.
Some of the other people have crazy. I also thought it was so funny to me that like so many of the boys just wore like button down Oxfords at a sleepaway camp.
Oh yeah, there's this great moment if you guys are watching it afterwards. The group of boys that throw the water balloons.
Yes.
There's one little fat blonde boy with them who doesn't seem like he should be in their group at all.
Aww.
He seems like maybe he's 10 years old. They're all like 17.
He's scared
but he clearly just
roof.
Got put in that scene, and he also was wearing like a little shirt and but he flips them off. He like gets into it.
Yeah.
But he's just off on the corner. You're like, what's this kid doing here? Anyway. Okay, I'm gonna back off. Give it 80%.
80.
I'm going to give it an 85. I think the wardrobe for what it is, I think it's really fun. It's very campy.
Nice.
Some ridiculous, like, oh yeah, that was the early 80s kind of looks going on. I liked it.
I guess for me, like, it doesn't feel that, like, the boys stuff doesn't feel that over the top because I remember guys weren't, like, it does feel of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, it wasn't over the top, I feel like.
Okay.
But Aunt Martha, I feel, certainly is. So I'm going to give it, but also now looking at it, like, these guys are just like lunatics.
Yeah, absolutely.
They look
those
like
half shirts. Come on.
Yeah. They look like they're walking thirst traps. I'm going to give it a 50.
That's fair.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 points more than Tourist Trap, 5 points less than I gave Berserk.
Okay.
Just for those keeping score at home, which I hope nobody is.
Oh, I hope someone is.
Someone has gotta be.
That sad person. Next category, does it hold up?
Mm. Oh, like if they, what you say is if they made it now, would people accept it?
I get, we have never really clearly defined.
I don't think this ever held up.
You don't think anything ever held up?
I don't think this movie ever held up.
Oh, right.
Like, the day it came out, it didn't hold up.
You're like, well, this wasn't very good.
Well, I mean, like, there are certain elements of it that, like, yes, you could do today. Obviously, there's a thing of, like, well, they'd have cell phones or whatnot. I guess the thing that it's like, oh, like, what is our point of view on, like, the villain and, like, or the murderer, let's say? Like, does it feel, like, it doesn't...
It's so
does anything ring false?
What?
Like, does anything ring false?
I mean, like, it rings false in the way that, like, I feel like a lot of horror movies, especially in, like, the late 70s, early 80s, had to be like, this trauma happened to them as a child, and that's why they're fixated with, like, dressing up like Santa Claus and killing people.
Also, the Dress to Kill, where it's like,
yeah,
this
right.
is a cross-dressing
that's
person.
It's just using, like, yeah.
But is this, like, are we supposed to think that Angela is transgendered?
I
or?
Don't think so. I think it's, like, because she was for... It's almost like a case for letting your kids be their gender... Define
quirky,
how they
yeah.
want to do it, because
right.
by forcing them not to be that, you'll drive them insane. But also, you shouldn't say it's all. It's not clearly. It's just using transgendered or being the wrong a surprise gender reveal as like a shock. It's not
correct.
Saying anything about. It's just
it's
meant
not
to be
saying
shock
like it's
value.
Bad. I mean, like it is horrible that someone who didn't was forced to live their life in an identity that wasn't theirs.
Right.
But they're not saying that transgenderism is wrong.
No,
but it is. But they are saying it's shocking.
They're using it, for shock value. Yes.
They're like, look, a penis. Ah! Yeah. Like literally, the last shot is like a penis.
Yeah, a girl with a penis. What's happening?
Like that's more. That's meant to be more shocking than the fact that she just cut off
killed
a boy's head.
Right.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you have like a very, I would say, almost progressive gay couple at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
The dads.
Yeah, which is like so... I've never seen that in like any other slasher film from that era.
I mean, they are saying Aunt Martha did this.
Yeah.
I still think it... I just don't think... I think if I had seen this the weekend it opened, I would have been like, this is weird.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So,
so like, it hasn't changed is what you're saying. So in that way, you could argue it's held up.
In a way, time, it feels like a nice artifact of an era.
Yeah. It seems more... I think at the time you'd be like, this is not what the era I live in. But now you'd be like, oh, the 80s.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So I'll give it a 70.
70.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think I'm going to give it an 80. I think like, yeah, what is weird about like, yeah, the fashion doesn't hold up. But like, I don't know. I don't know. It feels more to me like what they're saying is like not that central element to me doesn't bother me, but I'm sure I'm wrong. I'm sure I'm going to get dragged and be told that I'm wrong. But I don't know.
I think you will.
Great. educate me.
I'm going to give it a 75. I think it is like wildly problematic, but it is like a this movie goes by in 30 seconds. It's like
that's true. It's 84
such
an minutes.
Easy, fun watch, and it's pretty goddamn unique.
I knew when I put it back on to watch it for this, I knew every line. Funny. And I was so happy. Like I hadn't seen it probably in like 5 years.
So wait, I want to ask you. So back when you were before you were saying like in high school people were like, "Oh, you need to see this movie." And so like you went to a Blockbuster and rented it. The first time you saw it, like what happened? Were you like, was your mind blown? Were you like,
"Well, one of my friends had been like, it's crazy." Like so one of my friends had not just said it's scary.
Right.
But they were like, it's the one, my friend Josh was like, they play an entire baseball game. Like, and so right. I was ready. But yeah, my mind was completely blown. I mean, I was also getting into like bad movies at the time.
Sure.
So I put it in the bad movie category right away.
Right.
Yeah, my mind was blown. It was like immediately my favorite thing. Cause like, you know, for me, I wasn't allowed to watch slasher movies. When I finally got access to slasher movies, they're mostly bad. Like
right.
They're boring and bad. Except for the good ones. But you like, you watch Prom Night after wanting to watch it for like your whole life. And it's
right.
Like the worst.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like a slog to get through.
Yeah.
This one's never boring. I feel like even like, cause usually slasher movies are only good when there's like the murders happen. But this one is always pretty watchable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's always something happening.
Yeah.
There's a ton of characters in this movie too.
Yeah.
I think that has something
really
to do with
it. It does feel like a camp of like with real kids. And like it feels like they do a good job of making it feel like you're at an actual summer camp.
It reminds me of Wet Hot American Summer in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It feels close to that. Like I feel like they probably also were doing a little wink to this movie, maybe in the
I'm
original
sure it was
Wet Hot.
They also use
somewhere.
Gay as a joke. So yeah,
true. But yeah, like the outfits and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
The little shorts.
It's an iconic summer camp movie. This and Meatballs, maybe.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Next category, drag queen inspiration.
Can you explain how, like what you mean?
This is slash iconic looks. Like, if you were a drag queen, like, oh, I need to put together.
If you saw this movie, would you be like, I want to
do
a look of that?
I could do that.
Would people have to understand it?
I think it helps. Like, I'll tell you, number one movie in this category, Beetlejuice.
Okay. Yes.
You know what I mean? Because that's like very striking look.
Yeah. I don't always think this, but I do think a strong element is if you were watching a drag show and someone came out in a thing, would you be like, oh my God, they're doing Sleepaway Camp?
Okay. I think that's tough. I think I could do Aunt Martha or Judy, but then I don't think anyone would understand it. So I'm going to go low.
It doesn't have to be that, but like something that could you imagine like a drag queen seeing this movie and being like, oh my God, I want to do it like an Aunt Martha look.
I think you do an Aunt Martha. You could do like a big fancy bow on the finger, like a big glittery ribbon, you know,
yeah.
Like really.
But it would have to be a Sleepaway Camp drag show.
Sure.
Sure.
Would that work, you think?
Maybe it's your first look in a night of like slasher looks.
Okay.
Like as part of a trilogy of
I'm
looks.
I'm just not seeing it.
It's tough.
I think I'm going to go 40.
Okay.
Fair enough. I guess they would do like what Aerosmith's dude looks like a lady and nobody
yeah,
wants
most
that.
Of, like, the
nobody
looks
wants
that.
Nobody
like.
Wants Aerosmith at a drag show. Get out of here.
That's nobody wants it. If
I
choose ironically.
I went to a Eurovision drag show in
oh,
Iceland.
Wow. Oh my God. It was great. Okay. And bragging
went,
much.
But they, it was so fun. But they were kings too. They went both directions.
Oh, fun.
So
sure.
I feel like you could do like a Ronnie.
Definitely.
Or
oh my
a
God.
Mel. Yeah.
Imagine if you went to some drag king did a Ronnie. Wouldn't you lose your goddamn mind?
I would love it.
You give them all your tip money.
I think you just have to do like, to heighten that, you just do like a collar. Like there are, just expose your chest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like just wear a collar and sleeves. Mm-hmm. John, what do you
give
me?
I'm going to give it a 50.
50. Love you, Aunt Martha, but all that stuff's decidedly off the rack. 35.
Wow.
Next category, caper music.
Oh, there's some good caper
music. There's some
music.
Good caper music.
Like,
yes.
when the kids knock the dad off the boat, that's caper
They're
music.
Having fun.
Yeah. And I also feel like there's some good caper music, like when Paul is sneaking up on Angela.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. There's some good caper music when they're playing Capture the Flag. I think there's a more caper music than you think. In this
yeah,
movie.
There's even in the boat sequence, the water skiing sequence. There's
yeah.
not
oh,
some
yeah,
caper
yeah.
music.
Yeah. Give it a 80.
80. Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 75.
A little more conservative. I don't remember. Okay, I'll take your guys' word for it. 75.
Great.
Okay, great. Next category, teamwork.
Well, there's a baseball game and there's Capture the Flag.
Baseball game.
Yeah. Yeah. And the rules of Capture the Flag explain.
The counselors band together at one point. What are we going to do?
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And Ronnie tells everyone, you go do this, you go do this. Or no, Mel does that.
Mel does that, probably.
The guys have a water balloon throwing squad. Mm-hmm. Everyone gangs up on Mozart a couple times.
Yeah,
Judy and Meg are
Judy and
a team
Meg
of sorts.
Oh, they're very much a team. They're very much out to get Angela.
Oh, and Angela's cousin, I forget his name. Ricky. He's always sticking up for her, which I thought that was nice.
Very admirable.
I think one could argue he just wanted an excuse to swear.
Sure, sure.
But we never talked
about Ricky's cowboy hat. There's one scene where it's like they're having a social
and he walks in
wearing the largest cowboy, and you can tell the actor is like, I think it feels like the actor chose to wear that hat.
Just like was like, can I wear this hat? And they were like sure.
But it also feels like that character would do that too. You know what I mean?
His sleeves are rolled up and he's like,
hey, maybe this is my personality. Okay.
Yeah, sure, Ricky. Your name is actually Ricky.
Director's commentary, Felissa Rose asked him, so why did he wear, what's with the hat? She asked the director, I don't know. He needed something to knock off his head.
Okay. Oh, I see.
Great.
Felissa, sure. In the commentary, seems like she's doing her best to keep things rolling.
She's grasping at straws.
She seems cool.
Yeah.
Was she in all the subsequent sleepaway camps?
She was.
Yeah.
I looked up her Instagram last night. A lot of like fun mom kind of posts.
Oh, cool.
God bless her. Teamwork. 85.
I'll give it an 80.
80. I would say though the teams fail for the most part, so yeah. I got to give it a 70.
Okay.
I don't think this is the best propaganda.
It's like Muppets,
for teamwork.
Or is it teamwork, right?
Correct. Next, how likely to recommend this to gay people are you on a scale of 0 to 100?
Well,
you find out someone's gay.
Yeah.
The next thing you say is you should watch Sleepaway Camp.
It doesn't have to be that. You could know they're gay, find out they haven't seen Sleepaway Camp, and then decide.
This is a weird conversation. Because of the camp factor, I feel like someone could enjoy it.
Yeah.
But also it's problematic, as we've discussed.
It is.
It's got some weird messaging.
Sure. Yeah. Unclear messaging, definitely.
So I would have to recommend it with reservations.
It depends on the gay.
Yeah.
Are you already a horror movie nut?
Did my nephew just come out to me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, here. Like, no.
This is what happens. Stay away
you
from
sure
lakes.
This is the life you want to choose?
70.
70.
I'm going to rate it higher because I feel like if I'm talking to someone who's gay and they haven't seen it, I'd be like, oh my God. Like, granted, I'm not going to be like, oh, you haven't seen Sunset Boulevard or All About Eve. What's wrong with you? But I'd be like, oh, Sleepaway Camp is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 90.
90. You're equally as likely to recommend this as Berserk.
Great.
But less likely to recommend Tourist Trap.
It's either of them.
Berserk is a great Joan Crawford vehicle, and Berserk, Tourist Trap is just bananas.
Okay, good.
Both recommend.
Good.
I'm going to give this 75. It's a cautious recommendation with a lot of caveats up top.
Yeah.
How much felt on a 1 to 100? 0 to 100.
0 to 100.
Aunt Martha's hat.
Martha's hat, I think, has got some felt going on there.
There's some like crafts maybe on the walls. Yeah. It's not felty though.
It's not very felty.
About 10.
10.
For the hat, for Aunt Martha, I'll give it a 20.
20? That's a lot of weight to the hat.
But it's not just like the amount so much as it like the quality and the impact of the felt.
Sure. I'll give it 15. Okay. Next category, facial hair. On 0 to 100.
The cop has pretty good facial hair.
But the cop's facial hair is definitely fake.
It is absolutely fake.
Like just taken out of the package, not even sculpted for his face. Like literally like put the tape on.
I want to give it negative points.
No, I want to give it more for that because just the brazenness of it.
Does the cook have facial hair?
I think he does.
He's got like weird, gross, wispy.
Yeah.
It's not a facial hair show. I mean, they're all pubescent. Prepubescent,
right.
They can't grow.
Them.
And Mel could have a mustache, but he didn't feel like having one.
A mustache on Mel would have been great.
It would have been fantastic. There's like mustaches where there could have been one on one of the dads. There could have been a mustache.
That's true. That would have fit right in.
Yeah. 5.
Fair. For that fake straight out of the package mustache, I'm giving it a 20.
20.
But like I said, I'm no expert. I love his delivery on that one.
I gotta give it a 7. I'm giving it a 7.
A 7.
I was
okay.
offended by the fake mustache. Either do it or don't. It's like people who wear like eyeglasses with just clear lenses. Mm. Like, no, I have to wear glasses. You can't just use them as a fashion accessory. That's not
right,
fair.
But this is just like for a movie and building a character. I just really like that.
I know identical twins though, and one of them wears those glasses just so you can tell
for
them
that
apart.
Thing. Interesting.
Yeah, it's nice.
Why not get a cool tattoo?
On your face?
Yeah.
You have to just see from their face.
Yeah.
Next category, broken glass. 0 to 100. I don't think there's any broken glass.
I was looking for it. I didn't see any.
I don't think there's any broken glass.
There are a lot of options.
Unless the only way you could sort of justify it, which I won't, is if plexiglass in the shower, if that was a plexiglass shower that the knife went through, that got broken.
It's fiberglass.
Or fiberglass.
But
I don't think
that what we mean by broken glass?
Probably not.
I feel like, I'm going to be honest, I don't think Robert Hiltzik wanted to buy sugar glass or clean up glass.
Yeah.
That's why
the only scene I could think of where it might be was in the first kill of the cook, where they have that insanely tall pot that they're just boiling.
He just pours it onto himself.
Right.
He just grabs it and pours it onto himself.
I thought there might have been like, a glass jar on the table there, but no.
They don't break the window to push
the beehive in. That's true.
Yeah. Just a screen, right?
This is a
screen.
Ugh. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's the lack of broken glass.
Like Angela never looks in a broken mirror once.
Right.
Ugh. Would have been so poetic.
Zero.
John will give it 3.
I'll give it a 2.
Oh, okay. I'm giving it a 0. There is no broken glass. John's just one of those, like, you heard of internet trolls.
Yep, that's me. I'm a real internet troll. Making everyone's life miserable.
Next category, the male gaze, GAYZE. So how is the camera sexualizing? This is different from homoeroticism because I feel like this is like the camera, the director is intentional.
Does it have to be like, because I don't know if he knows. Do you think he knows?
Because Mr. Ripley is our high, or no, actually Toy Soldiers is our high.
Yeah.
Second highest is,
but Toy Soldiers is like predatory.
Yes. Well, that's intentional.
But I don't know if this is intentional. I feel like it's just happening.
Yeah, it's
and like
great.
No,
shot indifferently.
Yeah, just shot just from like an instinctive gut place. And it's not being, like I said, it's not being examined with any sort of...
I don't think he tries to do that to men or women. Like, he's not trying to... Right. Like, there's no, like, shot of, like, here's the hawk. Or, you know, it's just like,
but
oh, yeah, they're...
But it is so weird that all the men... It's always shirtless guys, always taking off their skitty. It's, like, constant stream of...
Yeah.
There's a lot of it.
And no hot women, really. I mean,
ugly women in this movie.
Like, they're just
Shrewish
not, they're
women.
Never shot in an attractive,
right.
like...
Well, they look like actual teenagers from the time.
But even, like, Judy, the camera never, like...
No.
Goes up and down Judy's.
Even the main shower scene is pretty much like very conservative.
But most of the scenes are just one shot, though. Like that scene where Judy is in a bikini It's just like the one shot.
Well, they had to save time. They had to shoot a baseball game for 2 weeks.
Right. The only thing I will give it is, once again, that shot of the dads in bed, which
true.
Is
that's
shot
true.
Objectively as a mm-hmm. tender love scene.
That's true.
True, true, true.
And for that, I will give it...
That's a good one.
60%.
60!
I will give it 35 for that.
35. Same as Berserk.
Yep.
I gotta give it a 40. Because that one, there has that one shot, but that's not enough.
It's interesting because, like, both Meg and Judy are objectively attractive women.
Yes.
Beautiful women. And it's just almost like, who knows? Like who would ever.
Who cares?
It's a slasher movie where just.
Irrelevant.
It doesn't, they don't. We are not thinking it doesn't matter.
Next category, angry phone hangups.
I don't know if there is
one. I don't think there is one.
Which is...
I don't think there were.
You would think Mel would like be talking to a journalist or an angry parent and like hanging like, your kids are fine, go back to bed.
But they're always there. It was like the cop or the reporter, like they were always there that he talked to them.
Yeah. It's a real missed opportunity.
I know. Mel, I watched it, but it's like, I know Mel slammed a phone down, but he doesn't.
He doesn't. But we've created this rich world of Mel in our minds.
He I don't think he ever has ended a phone call normally.
No,
possible. He just walks away.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Tough but fair.
Zero.
Zero.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Mm-hmm. But hold on. Maybe it can make up some points in titular theme song. Zero to 100.
The song over the credits is Angela.
It's a tribute to Angela. They say Angie in the end credit song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's not the titular theme song.
The opening is mostly just like strident chords played over and over again.
Well, kids are like, bunk 15. Da, da, da.
You guys smell bad. Meh. Right.
But I do think that is like some, like this is a scale 0 to 100. Mm. I don't think you could say it's a 0 because there is a song at the end that says that a character's name in the movie.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's something.
Give it a 50.
50.
I will give it a 35.
35. I think I'll give it a 50. Oops.
Okay.
Yes. They're halfway there.
Okay.
They're halfway there.
All right.
It's better than nothing. Next category, entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, man.
Wow.
There's a bunch. I mean, there's
just Meg appearing and spelling her name.
Yeah. Judy, the way you meet Judy, she goes, not now, Ricky. Like, she looks over her shoulder. Yeah, like,
whatever.
We get her character immediately.
Aunt Martha.
Aunt Martha.
Coming down those stairs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The way you meet the creepy cook is great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just things like the pitcher for the game just appearing screaming on the field. Like, I'm going to give it a 80.
80.
Yeah. I think I'm also going to go 80. They do a good job with these characters.
I'll give it a 70.
Okay.
I got to use a little more camera movement.
What about when he walks? Oh, I guess he.
What?
Entrances, does it mean into the movie or into a room? Because that cowboy hat.
Yeah.
That's true. Fine, 75.
Okay, 5 points for that hat.
That isn't, I guess it's not, it's undefined entrances with pizzazz. Any entrance,
how you
I
choose
guess.
To interpret it.
All right, here we go. You could make up a lot of points right here. Non-traditional murder weapons.
Oh
yeah. My God.
100.
100.
Can we call
them
out?
Let's go through them. Yeah,
please.
So,
we
boiling
insist.
Vat of water.
With corn.
With
the
corn.
The highest of 4 foot tall. Yeah. Is that a real pot that
know,
exists?
It's insane.
It's a stock pot unlike one I've ever seen before. But, I mean, they didn't manufacture it for the movie.
It just seems so inefficient. Like, it would take hours
no
for that
sense.
To boil.
Yeah.
Especially to put it on top. Like, if you're to put it on top of an oven made no sense because you have to get on a ladder to get into that pot.
Yeah.
Okay, so first it's that. There's second, that. Upside down canoe.
Upside down.
Which
well,
is not
she's
as
drowned.
Exciting.
That's more the
third
place.
Is, but that snake coming out of mouth. Like,
that's
good.
Great.
Is that, that's not what killed him, though.
I
he
know.
Was
so
drowned.
It doesn't count. That's not interesting. Beehive, very
Beehive.
Interesting.
Very crazy.
Who's next, Judy? Curling iron in
curling
the vagina.
Curling iron in the vagina. Pretty brutal.
Stabbed through a shower.
Arrow through neck.
I would say that's pretty traditional, going back to the birth of this country.
Yeah, that's true. Very traditional.
It's the most traditional, I would say.
Then she just randomly stabs a bunch of little kids.
She right. hacks them with
she hacks them with a hatchet.
An axe.
And then she cuts
how
off.
How does she... Do we find out how she beheads? What's his name?
I assume with the axe.
Yeah, she just
that
has the
sense.
Axe. Yeah. And then off the head. Head
so
off.
So at very least, you got beehive, a tall pot of boiling corn, curling iron.
Curling iron. Yeah. For this, it's getting 100 for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's the best of all time.
I am also giving it 100.
All right.
I mean, I don't know how you top this.
Da-da-da-da-da. Perfect score.
Oh, there used to be, I just remembered, there used to be in very early internet, like 98, there was an I Hate Judy fan club, and I'm a member of it.
What?
Why would you hate Judy?
You had to give an original reason to hate Judy that someone else hadn't given, and I gave an original one.
What was yours?
That she wouldn't let the guy kiss wet.
Oh, it's a good reason to hate Judy.
Judy is so wet.
Yeah. Was she like dry kisses? Judy is very particular. Yeah. What did you, get anything in this fan club?
No, I just got listed on the webpage.
Oh, nice. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Next category, breath acting.
What does that mean?
You tell me. Bring it up with monoagapian. It's like people, I'm dramatic and I'm... Like, the acting is telling the story.
I will say,
is telling the story.
I will give, like, for me, I'll give credit to the girl on the water skiing girl.
Because,
like, her screaming was just relentless.
Is screaming breathing?
Yeah.
Or screaming,
it's a lot
screaming.
Of breath going on with screaming there.
And also the counselor that finds the dead kids.
Oh, yeah. They've been
whole,
hacked up.
Oh, no. Like, he does that.
Mel gets very winded after beating a bricky.
Oh, that's yeah. True. I got him, Mel. I got him. I got him. A little bit.
Beating him like he was a gorilla.
Oh, it's so good.
Like both arms, like forearms at the same. So upsetting.
God, he's holding that whole movie on his shoulders. I'll give it a 60.
60.
I'll give it a 40.
Yeah. John, I'm going to give it a 42.
Okay.
Next category, mannequins. 0 to 100. Are there any mannequins in this?
I don't think so.
There are any mannequins.
Zero.
Tough.
Are there any mannequins?
I don't think so.
Are we missing one?
Like a dead body? Like his head?
I mean,
that is not a mannequin.
Well, that's a fake head. Well, mannequins are fake heads.
I mean, every dead body is a fake. The one with bees on the face, they're all mannequins.
But those aren't being presented as mannequins.
Who gave you the category of mannequins?
Betsy Siddarth. Or tourist trap. Just see tourist trap. All mannequins.
A whole lot of mannequins. Just for the fake heads, I'll give it a 3.
That is not how fake heads work, but okay. I'm giving it a 0. Next category, and we're almost to yours immediately after this one. Dramatic lighting.
Oh. Yeah, especially I'm thinking of Judy's shadowed hands coming up.
Yes.
And the
final shot.
Yeah.
So eerie.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really good lighting, actually. All the deaths are lit pretty well.
The flashbacks look pretty fun.
Yeah. Yes.
Are they just in like a black space?
Yeah, it's like My Name is Alex,
the Family Ties episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
which ripped off Sleepaway Camp, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Probably.
All right, I'm going to give it 85.
85.
I will give it a 75.
75. I got to give it a 65. I need more like color gels. I need something on the walls.
That end shot too, when the reveal happens, they do some fun stuff with lighting.
Sure.
All right.
All right, Eva. Now's your time to add a category. What are we going to do?
I was going to call this category bitches, but I think I'm going to call it strident women.
Strident women.
Thank you. Less loaded.
Okay. All right. This will age better.
Yeah.
Who aren't afraid to ask for what they want.
Yeah. Strident female characters.
Is that the same as strident women?
Well. Strident women.
Strident women. What are you going to give Sleepaway Camp on strident women?
Because of the Judy and Meg, I'm giving it 90%.
Yeah, this is
the category. I also give it a 90. Also, the aunt.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty goddamn strong. She knows what she wants. She wants a daughter, and I'm going to have a daughter, goddammit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
a doctor.
She be damned. I'm right there. I'm going to give it, I think I have, I'm going to do 95 because Judy is my favorite, strident woman in all of slasherdom.
Wow. She makes out with Paul, for no reason, just to hurt Angela.
She's so strident.
She's a real carpenter's dream.
That's good.
Flat as a board and needs a screw. I should be Judy.
You should be. Halloween.
For Halloween.
No, just in
up.
Life.
Oh, yeah. Get what you want. Okay, and then now we are into our bonus round.
Ooh.
These are more things we have to agree on.
Yeah, these are more like black or white things, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, straight actors playing gay roles, -5% each instance. Now on the commentary, the director says that one of the men who plays the father who dies in the opening was a choreographer.
Okay.
Okay.
So in the 80s, that's how you said someone was a homosexual.
You know.
So we might be okay?
I think we might be okay.
But that's one. What about the other?
We don't know.
But they're not famous. It's different when it's like Matt Damon.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, sure.
A known actor, a known... I would warrant that many of the actors in this movie are gay.
Okay.
Because they were from the community center and they're the ones who opted to be in sleepaway camp with Robert.
But this is about like, do any straight actors
playing gay roles, -5%.
So you get penalized. So we're saying we don't think this movie should be penalized.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Okay. Next category. Oh boy. Positive portrayal of homosexuality +15%. There is, but I feel like it's a wash.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say it's negative, but I wouldn't say it's positive.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, I don't feel like we can give it the bonus.
Fair.
Our trans allies.
No.
We two old queens sees you. All right, finally, -50% if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising, so it does not get docked
50%. Have you guys done Cruising?
No, we're probably saving it for like episode 100 or something.
We also can't
find it. Like, it's not.
It used to be on like Amazon or Netflix. That's how I watched it.
When I search for it, I can't find it.
Oh, it's rough.
Okay, so out of a total 2,250 points, Sleepaway Camp has scored 1,140.67, giving it 50.70%, making it the fifth gayest movie of all time. Not as gay as Scream, but gayer than Berserk.
It's crazy that it's less gay than Scream.
Yeah. Well, I think Scream has more of the...
Scream has more hang-ups, more broken glass.
A lot of broken glass.
They had a bigger budget. They could afford phones and glass.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah. Five.
Really good.
It's the second in our five cold screams. Don't drag me. Awesome. Well, that's where we are for that. John, we got any listener feedback?
I don't have any new emails. Do we have any new reviews or anything?
I don't know. I think there's old ones, but that's fine.
We've gone on long enough today.
Eva, is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, root for?
On the week that this comes out, I will have a play open in LA called The Recital. It's an immersive play that I wrote with Michael Cassidy from Don't Stop or We'll Die. He also stars in it along with some great actors like Alan McLeod, John Ross Bowie from Speechless, and many more. If you want to buy tickets, there'll be a few shows this weekend. The tickets are at therecitalplay.com, and come check us out in LA's Koreatown in an undisclosed location.
Fun. I saw your last one, Amos, and it was incredible. So I can't wait to see this.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, if you want to reach out to us, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens.
Or you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com.
And that's it for we'll see you next time for the conclusion of Five Cold Screams
on Two Old Queens.
Oh, yeah.
And until then, here we go. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arshay. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.